listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Sterling.
And I am Paul Strolley.
And this is State of the Art.
As always, powered by Breakdown Services. It's good to be back. We have a special episode today. It is the actors with the entrepreneurial spirit. Very excited about this.
Very excited because I don't think there are very many of those, right?
Oh no.
Of our young actors.
The young actors especially. We do have a couple of guests we're going to have. Actually, three guests we're going to have over the course of our hour today. First off, we have actor Blair Hickey, who is with us today. Hey, Blair, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
And we also have Brian Wold with us as well, actor-performer Brian. Say hello, if you would.
Hello.
And they are sort of the creators of Casting About, which we'll learn in detail about 10 minutes after the hour. But in the interim, Michael, how was your week?
It was pretty good, Paul. Thanks for asking. It was kind of a birthday week of a good friend, and we did many things together, and one of them being a Chinese massage, if you will.
Now, you're not speaking in euphemisms, are you?
I'm not. I'd never do I?
It was a Chinese massage.
A Chinese massage.
Doing the air quotes.
No, actually, it was a wonderful experience at a local place.
I hear that they are.
Yes.
I hear that. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Go ahead.
It's a kind of a deep tissue thing and very relaxing and... I'm getting strange looks already from our guests. You know, doing the old shovel, Brian Wald is. And your week, Paul? How was your week?
Mine was good. I had a bit of a discovery this week.
It was, you did.
It was a cathartic moment for me because I think I realized why the world is in the financial straits that we're in. Because I read a little story online that really sort of makes it known that Americans will spend their money on absolutely anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the more expensive it is, the more likely it is for them to cough up the cash.
Of course.
Apparently, they're having an auction from Roy Rogers Museum.
No,
in Branson.
I know.
Just dry your eyes, Michael.
Branson, Missouri.
What a huge Roy Rogers fan you are.
I was when I was a child.
And so apparently, one of the big high-end items on this particular auction is Trigger. Now, yes. They're actually auctioning off the taxidermed horse of Roy Rogers, which is expected to fetch between $100,000 and $200,000. But I feel I should stress that it's not just $200,000 for a dead horse. I want to make this absolutely clear.
Right.
It's a horse that was taxidermed in 1965. So you're paying actually for a horse that's been dead for 45 years. So that's where your money is actually going to a significantly dead horse.
So the only thing that could really top that would be if Roy himself was taxidermed and up for sale.
Is not available. Roy's Bonneville is.
Really?
And this is what brings me to the fact of why we're in the financial state that we're in. Roy's Bonneville is available and is expected to catch about $50,000 less than the dead horse. So the dead horse is supposed to pull in $200K, but the Bonneville, the operational automobile, the actual means of transportation as opposed to said 45-year-old dead horse, is supposed to get $50K less than that. And this reminds me of a story of Sarah Bernhardt, you know, the famous actress.
Of course, the great Sarah Bernhardt.
Apparently, late in her career, Sarah had her leg amputated, some sort of neuropathy or something, and she lost her leg. And P.T. Barnum actually bought the leg and preserved it in formaldehyde.
This is true.
And her leg toured. They actually toured with her leg.
And this is true, too.
But the most tragic part of it is, you made me think of this when you were talking about if Roy were available.
Yes.
The tragic part is that while Sarah Bernhardt's leg was touring, she was actually still performing. So there were times, actually, that her leg was making more money than she was.
There's some sort of a sadness about that story.
Isn't it? Yes, it is.
My goodness. And so I guess that's where the Mr. Barnum got the expression, the greatest show on earth. He knew what he was doing, right?
Yeah, or maybe break a leg. I don't know.
Or break a leg. There you go. Well, do you know where that saying comes from, break a leg?
I always thought that it was John Wilkes Booth, that John Wilkes Booth, because when he shot Lincoln, he jumped onto the stage and he broke his leg, and it was supposed to be the grandest entrance ever. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what
I'm not sure that would be the explanation, because that kind of is, you're wishing somebody good luck, actually, when you say that, make that expression. And to my understanding, if you know something different, chime in. But it is when an actor takes a bow at the end of a performance, he's actually bending his leg to take the bow, so that is, in fact, the expression is break a leg,
bringing a
wonderful ovation to you at the end of the performance.
You break the leg.
You break a leg.
Yes. I did not know that.
Yes, it's true.
I knew the origin of stealing thunder.
Which was?
Stealing the thunder, that there was a writer who, in Shakespeare's time, he was the sound effects guy, and he was submitting plays to Shakespeare to do at the Old Globe, and or I guess when it was Shakespeare's, it was just the Globe. The Old Globe.
That would be right.
The New Globe.
It was the New Globe then. It was the brand spanking New Globe. And he was a sound effects guy, and he would, he had, you know, the tin that you would use to make the thunder and all that. And but the Shakespeare's troupe never performed any of his plays, but they continued to use all his sound effects equipment. So the line was, he won't produce any of my plays, but he will steal my thunder. So.
Now, this is useful information, isn't it? For all of us?
Good to know.
We're going to go right out.
That was a thinly veiled dig, wasn't it, Michael? Here's a little known fact. Here's a little known fact.
It actually inspires,
it's a good segue into what our conversation is today, which is the entrepreneurial spirit.
That's right.
Among actors.
And we have two of them in our studios this afternoon, and we have Brian Wald, and we have Mr. Blair Hickey. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's great to be here. Because I've heard all guests actually get free Chinese massages. Is that right?
Well, actually, sadly, by Michael.
That's the only catch there.
Michael is actually the administrator of said massage.
Suddenly, I have to go. So I have something very important elsewhere.
Do me a favor, just close those shades, would you? Blair, you we discussed this before we started here today, and I'm very interested for the listening audience to be aware of how Casting About came about and how it happened from your own experiences, good and bad, as an actor. Would you please share that story?
Sure, happy to. It was sort of one of those mother of necessity sort of deals. I had been in L.A. for probably 4 or 5 years after coming from New York. Started the career in New York, did Broadway and way the heck off Broadway productions, and started doing a little bit of TV and came to LA to pursue that career. Had a little bit of success when I first got to town, and I'd started with kind of a small entry level agency, and over time got courted by a larger agency, a boutique agency, up and coming, who said, yeah, you need to be with us, you need to be with.
I think it was a Chinese
agent. Yeah, it was. And massage is required to become a client, but you do what you have to do.
I would like to begin by apologizing to all of Chinese Americans that might be listening. I'm sorry, go on.
It felt great at the time to have this agency say, hey, you know, you belong with us and we'll take care of you and welcome to the big time. And, you know, using all the key phrases to make me feel good about it. And actually, I remember one story was I showed up, signed the contract, showed up the first day, and I had stapled all of my resumes to my headshots and brought them a stack. You know, here's my materials. And trying to be the dutiful, eager young actor. And so I show up, hand him the stack, and she looks at me and goes, oh, look, that's so sweet. Honey, you don't staple your own resumes anymore. We work for you. We do that. We're going to take care of you. Welcome to the big time. I thought, great. Wow. Good for me. So I went home, and I waited for them to do their thing. Keyword, waited. And I waited, and I waited. And it was a year later. I'd gone out 7 times. I'd gotten 7 phone calls. I was called back on all 7, and I booked one of them. And then 2 weeks before Christmas, they called to say, thank you very much, you're getting cut. It actually turns out there were 47 of us. They were cutting their client list in half, and they were going to focus on series regulars.
Well, and it was also that Staples budget. Exactly.
It was a tough call to get, but it happens. Yeah, you know. But sure. So I was one of the 47 to get the boot. And I went home, and you know, I went through all the usual stages of grief, denial and anger and curled up on the floor in a fetal position and all those things that you do. And then eventually I just sort of got ticked, you know, because it had been a year. And the reality is, except for the 7, and actually probably even not all of those, but those casting directors I'd met, everybody else, I didn't exist anymore in this town, right? I'd done no work. I'd done no marketing. I hadn't gone out. So anybody I'd met before signing with the agency, that was it. I was gone off the radar. And basically it was starting over. I had to start from ground zero.
Okay.
So, you know, anger is a strong motivator.
Sure.
You know, and so is revenge. You know, and I went through that. Okay, fine. They jumped me.
Yeah.
I'll show them.
Yeah.
And I sort of became obsessed about doing research, trying to find people in town who knew me. You know, casting directors who were familiar with my work.
Right.
And so I just went digging. You know, who do I know and where are they now? And that actually turned into the frustrating part because, you know, TV and actors who work in TV know this. It moves so quickly. And casting directors are getting swapped from show to show. They're changing offices. Associates are getting promoted, changing shows, you know, changing studios, channels, shows getting picked up, everything. So most of the folks I went looking for, I couldn't find. Now, at the time, there were the typical resources that actors use for finding casting directors, you know, these books that are printed sort of phone book style. You know,
right,
there's
right.
a name, there's an address, most of which I found were out of date, you know, pretty right. much the day they were printed because people were moving too quickly. There were these big packs of pre-printed mailing labels that also were out of date, and they were giving me a name and an address, but I didn't know what they were casting.
Right. And you usually knew one person in the office because, if you were ever even given a name, sometimes it was just an address.
Yeah, yeah. And if it was an associate, the
right.
you know, name's not going to help me.
Gotcha.
They may have moved offices.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of folks out here who do, you know, the mass mailing. That phrase has become used quite often. The mass yeah. mailing.
Right.
And I actually never really bought into it. I've always thought that's kind of like going down the 405 and throwing your postcards out the window and hoping they land on somebody's windshield.
Which is not unlikely in Los Angeles.
Well, actually, in L.A., it's very possible. It is true. But, you know, a specific targeted, that was kind of, and I ended up marrying a woman who got her MBA in marketing, and, you know, and she helped out with this, too, is that statistically, your numbers go up when you actually sort of target the people that you can work with, that
sure.
need you and you need them. And that's one thing I tried to work on with my acting career is saying, hey, you know, I'm a specific type, and there's casting directors who need my type, and let's go after those people.
Right.
And I wasn't able to find them with the resources that were out there, so I started digging myself. And at the time, I had this old black and white Palm Pilot, you know, thing, which is sounds ancient. It was, what, 6 years ago?
Remember when they had a stylus?
Remember way back when? I actually had to touch it with a pen thing.
Oh, wow.
It didn't scroll or nothing. But I started keeping track of my own little database, who's where and what they're casting. And I did it. That's what I did all day, every day. That was my full-time job. And I became obsessed. And before long, I sort of became the guy that my actor friends were calling. You know, hey, right. where is so-and-so? I did a workshop with this casting director. I can't right. find them. Or there's this new show. Who's casting this show? And, you know, it was one day that a buddy from acting class actually pulled me aside. And he said, look, dude, I've called you twice this week myself already. And I just heard you talking to somebody else in class. They need an address. And you have information here we could use. Be smart. Do something about it.
Right.
So my good friend and next-door neighbor, Brian Wald.
I'm sorry. I'm supposed to wake up right now.
He's everybody's good friend.
Good morning, everyone. Are we ready to start the show?
Yes.
Sorry. Tell the Chinese person to stop massaging you and pay attention.
It was very nice.
Somebody's got to do it, Brian.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was actually really good fortune. Brian and I were neighbors. We were friends. And Brian comes from a public relations and internet background and is kind of a genius when it comes to all things internet.
That is so wrong.
And we went out for burritos one day, out in Burbank, went for burritos. And I
the
said,
high,
okay.
life, Paul. Oh, yeah. High life, Paul. High life.
All good stories. All
and
good
they
businesses.
Said you were a fool to dream, uh-huh. Brian.
So we went out and I said, remember, basically, I said, okay, so I got this idea and tell me why it won't work.
Yeah.
And we talked about this idea of, like, let's try and find information that we can put online, make it easy for people to use what they find, update it all the time. That's the beauty of the online stuff, is
right.
keep it updated every day, and let's see if we can make it work. And we talked about it enough. We decided to kind of give it a go. You know, it starts as maybe a hobby, maybe a part-time thing. Let's see what happens. And pretty quickly, we kind of realized that this was unique. And Brian, one of your first questions you asked me was, like, sounds good, but, you know, who else is doing it? You know, it's got to be out there somewhere. And we couldn't find anything like it, so we spent, I guess, about a year and a half or so developing this. We talked to actors, we talked to casting directors, finding out what needs needed to be met mm-hmm. within the market. And then...
How long ago was this now?
This was we thought it started 2004.
Okay.
And we launched...
Middle of 2005.
Middle of 2005.
Okay.
And we launched Casting About, castingabout.com, this website. And the idea was, you know, take all the information actors need as far as who's casting what, where, and when, put it all in one place, keep the research updated every day, and then let people use it for both printing mailing labels. We threw in a feature where you can, you know, pick names and print your own mailing labels instead of buying that big pack, but also do research, you know, find out who's doing what, and it sort of took off.
In other words, they were able to customize the listing to what they wanted rather than buy, you know, here's your 400 labels of every single casting director ever. It's just, you know, you could eliminate the, you know, the ones that weren't your market. If it was like Hispanic casting or casting for children or something like that, you could eliminate that.
Absolutely. You can search for people you know. We have sorting features, you know, drop-down menus where we say, I want to only see the half-hour comedies that are casting right now, or maybe the half-hour pilots that are casting right now.
Gotcha.
Everything is project-specific. I think in the past, people just thought about, like, well, there's a casting director, and I want to meet him. Well, what we said was, well, no, it's not just a casting director. It's a casting director who is working on a specific project. Because right. Some projects are not going to be right for you. You know, music and I don't get along at all, so Glee is out. Forget it. I'm not even going to try. Why bother? You know, and
really?
Everybody, it's sad. I wish, you know.
Why is that?
It's not that Blair doesn't love music. It's that Blair...
Is it music doesn't love Blair?
Blair's musically challenged.
Really? Well, you know what, Blair? Speaking, before we get into more about casting, I want to ask you why you changed... your professional name is Hickey. Why did you change your name from your real name to Hickey? What was your real name?
Blair Smith just didn't have the ring to it.
Really? You
know? Yeah. No, Blair Hickey, that's it. That's it? Blair James Hickey, that's the full name. That's the real name.
Well, now, we're talking to a very good-looking man here, right?
Yeah.
You must have had as a child, you must have... What happened to you?
Thankful it's radio, so they don't know what I look like. I appreciate you lying. Thank you very much.
No, I'm telling you the truth.
With a name like Hickey, middle school is hell.
Yeah.
And when I was in middle school with my name Hickey,
that would be Hickey Hill.
Blair was, at the time, when I was in middle school, was the blonde woman on Facts of Life. So either way, yeah. I was doomed.
So the only worst name could be Tootie Lesion. Blair Hickey.
Well, I like to think that it builds character. Yeah, okay. We kind of formed a club in high school. There was me. And then there was Matt Wiener and Fred Crotchfelt. I'm not lying. That's
really?
True story. Yes, true story.
Really?
Of the Southampton Crotchfelts,
yeah,
right?
Well, yes. you know, it used to be O'Hickey, by the way.
Would make you Irish?
Make me Irish.
O'Hickey.
The O'Hickeys are my dad's family from County Cork in Ireland. And the Blairs are actually my mom's family in Scotland, outside of Glasgow.
Well, what's the Eugene O'Neill play with the main character Hickey? Is it Iceman Cometh? What's the one with the main character is Hickey? The one that it's either Iceman Cometh or...
I actually think it is.
I think Blair
It's Blair Hickey.
It's an odd premise. It's a bunch of Irish people in a bar. So, I mean, you know, you have to suspend your disbelief.
What a concept,
on that one.
Right? Oh, my goodness. Well, I only ask because I was fascinated by that. You have such wonderful credits here as an actor. Heroes, Medium, How I Met Your Mother, Ghost, Whisperer, Without a Trace, and on and on. And soap operas, too. What was it like living in the soaps there?
Oh, my goodness. That's how I started back in New York.
Yeah.
I had recurring gigs on Guiding Light and All My Children, As the World Turns, which was a great training ground.
I'm sure it was.
Soaps are, you know, think about this. They, you know, for people who haven't actually seen them in action, to film a movie, you know, about 2-hour movie takes, 3 months or so? So for an hour, call it a month and a half, call it 6 weeks for an hour.
Yeah.
In television, they do an hour in 8 days. In soap operas, they do an hour in 1 day. So, you know, you can imagine how quickly this happens, and they don't have time to tell you much other than be here, wait in your dressing room, come here when we call you. The director says, hi, welcome to the show, so I need you to stand here, say this, go there, say that, stay here, go this, and then do that, and then, okay, let's go. And you roll. So and if you get most of the words right, great, that's a wrap, thanks a lot.
So
right.
Those daytime Emmys are worth every... ounce that they weigh, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah. after the New York stuff that you're talking about, then as Michael pointed out, these L.A. credits, The Heroes, Medium, Chicago Hope, Practice, Ally McBeal. So this is basically an indication of the success of Casting a Bell, because you were employing all of that architecture while you were in the trenches as an actor getting these roles, right?
I honestly think Casting a Bell sort of became what it was because I was living it. You know, I was able to figure out okay, what would I want as an actor trying to figure out where all these people are? And the lesson, the one thing there is you know, it's great to have an agent. It's great to have somebody on your team, and you need that as you progress. But one lesson I learned is that it's not as necessarily essential as I thought it was, because once I started contacting casting directors and letting them know I'm here and I've worked with you before and now you picked up a new show and congratulations, I hope we can work together again, the casting directors who knew me and who trusted my work would call me whether I had an agent or not.
Right.
And I actually booked several of those shows you mentioned without an agent.
Right.
You know, some of them would call me directly because they knew me. Some of them actually hunted me down through my commercial agent. And said, hey,
and I don't think a lot of people, I mean, I don't know all the actors listening will know how difficult that is, but the non-actors who are listening have no idea how unusual that is. I mean, that's really, that's saying something with the, that's saying something about the relationship that's been established.
I was surprised, pleasantly surprised that it was happening, but it was, you know, they would say, look, we need this part. Well, you're right for it. So, you know, come on in. Mm-hmm. Now, on the, you know, I had to negotiate my own contracts, which basically means I'll work with for whatever you give me. but it was great because I continued to build these relationships.
Right.
And then when I did, because of that work, I was able to land another agent, you know, because my resume had grown and people had heard about me.
Right.
And then I was able to go back to these other casting directors and say, hey, thanks for your support over the years. And by the way, I'm now represented with this company and let's keep working together.
Okay.
And Brian, conversely, you were not really an actor per se. You're more of a singer, are you not?
Yeah, as it turns out, I'm a terrible actor. But I have quite a bit of experience singing, and strangely enough, I'm perfectly comfortable in front of audiences singing. But if I have to say lines, I'm very awkward and very rigid and really just a really bad actor.
I'm the same way with exotic dancing.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I see it.
That's when he's personally doing it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But it's you know, the one thing I wanted to point out is that I don't know that either Blair nor I would have referred to ourselves as the, sort of the entrepreneurial type before we got started with this thing, and that's where, you know, when he said originally it was something that was born out of necessity, you know, it's easy to look back and go, wow, we're entrepreneurs, we built a business, and it's you know, on a number of levels a pretty successful business. We have a lot of people in town who are really pleased with the service we provide, and that's really great. It's great feedback to get. But I don't know that either one of us would have said, you know, 8 years ago, I want to be an entrepreneur. I mean, I think there are people out there who have an aspiration to be that way. This was not that case. This was Blair needed to, at the time that he came to me and said, let's start this business, I had a full-time job, and it was a pretty good full-time job, and I had no intentions to quit that job. I started it as a sidelight to the thing. Subsequent to that, now I'm actually working on my own. And, you know, Blair continues to be a working actor for all you casting directors that are out there listening.
Not the only one on this show.
That's Blair Hickey.
I'm not sure. I am a producer.
Oh.
But we don't have much time left, but if we could pimp you a little more, Brian, because you're the computer guru.
What was that word?
Guru.
What was that
pimp.
Word?
Pimp.
Pimp. Pimp.
Isn't
pimp
it funny how the only word that Michael pulls out of the paragraph is pimp?
You know, we and for what it's worth, we should pimp out Brian because he you know, says he's not an entrepreneur, but yet has created his own very successful internet consulting business.
Absolutely.
Which has done very, very well. And as far as our partnership goes, I was very, very lucky because Brian came at the whole casting director acting world with a good sense for business and a good sense of public relations and marketing and applying those general principles to the acting world. And it's so easy sometimes to forget that, you know, this is a business. And when you look at it with those kind of untarnished eyes,
right, yeah.
You know, you see the business differently. So it's been a great partnership
objectivity,
that way.
Yeah. So Casting About, which we should also mention, is partnered with Breakdown Services.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are listening who are interested in Casting About, it's as simple as castingabout.com, yes?
That's it, castingabout.com. We're very excited. We opened up our New York office recently, so now we have listings for both New York and L.A. and hope people on both coasts who need it will sign up.
And Brian, what is the website for the consulting?
It's the name is the most creative name I can come up with. It's Brian Wold Consulting.
Right.
At brianwold.com.
Well, you are an artist, aren't you?
Yes.
Brian Wold Consulting.
And he has a lovely wife, by the way, Kelly Wold.
Does she have a website?
No, forgive me. She has a lot of other things.
She's a Chinese massage artist.
Well, thank you both very much. Castingabout.com and BrianWold Consulting.com. That's Brian, BRIANWOLD, consulting. Thank you both, gentlemen. We are going to segue now into our live arts calendar, right, Michael?
Thank you, guys. Yep.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yes, you're right, Paul. Our weekly live arts calendar. And we're going to start with this. A thrilling tale of fame, passion, and vengeance, Peter Shaffer's Tony Award-winning best play Amadeus returns to Los Angeles in a ferocious new production directed by August Viverito, or Burrito, however you wish to say that, and featuring London favorite Peter Swander in his Los Angeles premiere performance as Salary, excuse me for stumbling over this, playing through July 31st at the Chandler Studio Theater in North Hollywood.
When Richard Mayhew stops to care for an injured girl on the street, he is drawn into a nightmare shadow world beneath the city of London. To return to his normal life, Richard must brave countless trials, uncover the truth behind a dark conspiracy, and face the indomitable great beast. Lifeline Theater in Chicago presents Neverwhere, now extended through July 18th. Anyone in Chicago should check out Lifeline. It's one of the greatest theaters in Chicago. It's really, really good work.
We love Chicago. The rock musical sensation The Who's Tommy is a roof-raising musical explosion based on The Who's 1969 concept album. This extraordinary story of hope, healing, and the human spirit is filled with iconic hit songs like Pinball Wizard, See Me, Feel Me, Acid Queen, and more. Pete Townsend's Tony Award-winning tale plays through August 8th at the Chance Theater in Anaheim Hills, and I concur about this theater what you feel about the Lifeline Theater, Paul.
Oh, really?
Yes.
A hard-boiled terrorist is lured home by the news that his beloved cat, Wee Thomas, is doing poorly. When he discovers the cat has been murdered, he initiates a cycle of revenge killing that threatens everyone in his path. This graphic satire on violence is directed by Wilson Milam, who received a Tony Award nomination for his work on the 2006 Broadway production, The Lieutenant of Inishmore, through August 8th at the Mark Taper Forum. Very excited about seeing that. You're going to see it, yes.
Yes, this week.
I'll be seeing that on Thursday, and then we'll be reviewing it next Monday.
That's right. And our last show, Celebrate the Founding of America in the Tony Award-winning 1776, where John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and Ben Franklin fight for freedom and draft the Declaration of Independence. It's a riveting musical filled with history, humor, and romance, presented by Musical Theater West and playing through July 25th at the Richard and Karen Carpenter Performing Arts Center in Long Beach.
1776 is one of my favorite plays.
Wonderful musical.
Great musical. I was Richard Henry Lee in that, actually.
Really? Yeah, really? And the Musical Theater West is one of the most successful Southern California performing arts companies.
I don't know if we talked about that in an earlier show. Northsidecomedy.com is the hilarious new sketch comedy website burning up the web since October of 2009. They do great work, this group, specializing in the promotion of minority comedic talent in non-stereotypical roles. Northsidecomedy.com continues their fundraising efforts for production with your help, as well as Kickstarter.com, a funding platform for artists, filmmakers, and all types of creative endeavors. So for further information about any productions or events mentioned on today's State of the Arts live calendar, visit us during the week ahead at stateoftheartsla.com. That's stateoftheartsla.com. And also, if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. I know that, Michael, you have a review to share with us, but before you do, I just want to let everyone know that immediately following your review, we'll have another interview with the lovely and talented Sissy Connor, who is with us. How you doing, Sissy?
Doing great. How you doing?
Welcome, Sissy.
Sissy is sort
continuing
our theme of the entrepreneurial spirit, and we'll be talking to her in a little bit, but we're grateful to have her here. And, Michael, tell us about your theatrical experience this week.
Well, I will, and you would have been with me, but you were scheduled to be in Chicago, and as it turned out, you ended up staying in Los Angeles to do a movie.
I had to stay here to film, to do a small film, an independent film. Very excited, and we'll talk about that later. I actually hope to get some of the people from the film here in studio in the coming weeks.
We would love that. But this is what I did. I went to the beautiful $40 million Broad Stage Theater, which you and I went to a couple weeks ago.
We saw Daddy Long Legs there.
We did, and this was my second visit there, to see the one and only Broadway star, Alan Cumming. And I cannot recall in my professional years as a producer of cabaret concert performances, let alone truly, Paul, my lifetime, have I ever been so enamored by any one single individual performer. He is,
wow.
He is extraordinary, and he brought his cabaret concert, appropriately titled Alan Cumming Uncut, to the extraordinary Broad Stage in Santa Monica last Friday evening, July 9th. A sold-out audience, Sissy, a sold-out audience at LA's newest Jewel by the Sea, as we call the Broad now, was more than just ready for a wild cruise with Captain Cumming navigating the evening, and navigate it he did. Instantaneously, from the moment he stepped foot on the stage, with an uncanny ability to whip the audience into a frenzy with genuine hilarity, the greatest of style, and truly an unaffected confidence woven into such a certain grace and a passion that he soared miles above the it factor. It was so awesome to sit there. My mouth was open half the
performance.
Can we
sing again?
It was a one-night show.
Yeah, but,
so this is the point of this review, to get people to come and see him the next time he passes through town, or wherever you are, wherever you're listening from. Hopefully he'll come your way.
But how long was the performance?
90 minutes without an intermission.
Just him.
And two musicians.
And it sounds like it just flew.
It did. Yeah. I mean, it just sailed through that 90 minutes of, you know, anecdotes and superbly chosen musical material, such as Mein Herr from Cabaret, of course, which he starred on Broadway, and also won the Tony Award for.
I'm sorry I missed it.
Oh, my gosh. And I still have That Other Girl and Losing My Mind from Follies to the rollicking encore of Beautiful, of a song called Beautiful. He proved exactly why he has earned every major theater award on Broadway. As I said, from the Tony, of course, for Cabaret. And his musicians, I must give a shout out to Yair Evnin and also Lance Horn, his musical director. They were stunning. But I will say one thing. Alan became proudly a U.S. citizen recently.
Where's he from?
He's from Scotland. And I must say that he's also become an American treasure for which we should all be very proud.
Wow, that's great. And you said that he's a very personable man, too. You met him after
very
the performance?
Very personable. We met him after the performance. He couldn't have been sweeter. He gave us a CD, which he signed, and for my friend, it was celebrating his birthday, Tony, and made it personal and made it an evening, you know, that was more than just going to the theater.
My friend Lena Rideout, my friend Ted that I went to college with, is married to a lovely performer, a singer, actress, wears a lot of hats, plays about 20 instruments, I think. And she was in the revival of Cabaret with him. And I'm so envious of her, because in her living room, there is a Hirschfeld that she's in. There's a Hirschfeld caricature with Alan Cumming and two of the Kit Kat girls, and she's one on one side, and it's just like, to be in an actual Hirschfeld.
Can you imagine?
I think she might be the Nina, too. I think the Nina might be on her. I'm not sure. You know, the Nina?
Yeah.
The hidden thing? But, that's great. Well, sorry that we missed it, but at least we know that the next time Mr. Cummings comes through town, we will make
a point. Everybody should go to his website, alancumming.com, and check out his touring schedule.
Maybe he sells a tape.
He does. It's actually available from Amazon and those various sites.
Of the uncut?
Of the performance?
Of the music.
Audio.
Of the music, yes.
Okay, of the audio. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. That sounds electric.
You are welcome.
And I am sorry that I missed that, but
I'm sorry.
I've seen some great one-person shows in town, and one of which was by our next guest. I saw Sissy most recently in Tea at Five, a phenomenal one-woman show.
Yes, you did. Saw me at Tea at Five.
I didn't realize Kate was here.
Well, of course she's always here.
Well, Kate.
She's pushing up daisies.
So now, Kate, what is your opinion of Sissy? Because I know you feel
she's
very...
brilliant. I have never met anyone quite so brilliant. If she says so herself.
But you're a big... We had a conversation earlier. You said you're also a big Cher fan.
Well, where is she? Get off the floor. Yeah, man, you know what? Just leave me down here, okay? For God's sake, you know? I'm tired. I can't move my lips. I'm tired. Okay. What?
For share, that's something, right?
That's for share, that's something. Yeah,
yeah, for share, like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Share has
if that. I could turn back time. Yeah. What?
Share has that my lips were stuck in a pool drain look.
Yes, you know? She does.
Just like, but
ow,
the
ow, ow.
But what? But no, Sissy Connor, a Ovation nominated actress who's joined us here today, but known for a number of things, only a few we can really address here on the show, because we're a family show.
Right out of my mouth there, Paul.
You know, it says on the wall, you can say what you want.
Do you still do the trick with the pony? No. anyway. but
get me going. I'll go back to the Chinese.
But, Sissy, we want to talk about, because the theme being actors with the entrepreneurial spirit, and you truly embody that with Bare Soul. Would you share with the audience exactly what Bare Soul is?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
And how you came up with the idea?
I heard Blair say that he, you know, it came out of necessity. You know, what was that? Oh, sorry. I thought you thought. I never mind.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm here.
That Blair said.
Anyway, yeah. So it wasn't exactly an entrepreneurial spirit. I can't even say that. But it was a dream. I had a dream about a shoe, and it was just too good to pass up. And you know, that's how it started, just from a vision and a dream.
Okay, and it was just, and it's a, but a specific type of shoe, and it's not so much the shoe; it's the idea that's the fascinating thing.
Exactly.
To me.
It's that you can. Along the perimeter of the shoe are little loops that you can interchange the strap so that the shoe can look different every day. You can add accessories, you can dress the shoe up, you can dress it down. So basically one pair of shoes becomes many pairs of shoes.
So you buy the base and then you get these either straps or leather or beads or accessories and you customize, so you get one shoe and you have all these different options with it.
Right, you're only limited by your imagination. So you can do anything you want, and they're really super, super, super comfy. When we started, they were just singly padded, but now we're almost quadruple padded shoes, so you can wear them all night.
Oh, wow.
So if you're, in a dancing kind of mood.
Which you could very well be, because her shop is actually just down the street from Sterling's upstairs.
That's true.
You like the way I wove that in?
I love that.
You like the way I just that tucked
you.
That in?
Well, I'm a radio personality.
And the sharp one you are, Paul.
But so now, you did move. You were in the shop was in Burbank,
right.
And now you're on that great strip where Tahunga Village.
It's magical.
It is.
It's a totally magical.
I just came
street.
Into her shop for the first time the
and
other
it's
day.
A beautiful little shop.
It is.
And and we have a
with
great
a beautiful
time.
Little daughter of yours.
I have
working
my
it.
Daughter is. I'm so happy to work with my daughter now. She had retail experience. I, of course, could only pour Coca-Cola, being a flight attendant for 400 years.
which we're going to get to that before the end.
So well.
Before the end of the hour, before the end of the hour, we have to hit you up for a couple of flight attendant stories. But I'm sorry.
Okay. So anyway, had I not had a daughter that had so many years in retail, I'm not sure I would have gone ahead with the idea. But I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm really glad I did. And
well,
this
yeah.
was like almost 5 years ago that I had the vision and the dream. And it wasn't exactly a dream, because a dream has a beginning, middle, and end. But this is just a vision of a shoe.
No, it's Bare. Before I forget, so we're talking. It's baresole.com, baresole.com.
That's correct.
And awesome site too, Michael. You should check it out. There's this whole animated opening, and
I haven't navigated all the way through it yet, but I did take a quick look at it. And of course, you know, when I went by the store the other day, I don't know if you do this with all your customers, Sissy, but she put me to work right away.
Did she?
Yes.
Oh, was fixing vacuum cleaners, changing light bulbs.
Yeah, I did the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's hard to...
nice to have a man around, is what I'm saying.
It was. It was
Thank
very...
You.
Your timing was impeccable.
Just happened to be. Just happened to be walking down the street.
Yeah.
So now, this recent performance that you did was Tea at Five, the Kate Hepburn one-woman show, where the first half of the show is...
Young Kate,
mm-hmm. and the second half is old Kate, and which I enjoyed tremendously. But I wanted you to share some stories from Plain Crazy.
From which some, you got an ovation
the one that you were ovation nominated for.
No, I got that for doing Marlena Dietrich.
Oh, your ovation was the Marlena Dietrich?
Yeah, I played Marlena Dietrich, because she's so much like Katharine Hepburn. You know? They all slept with the same people anyway. Hello.
It was all one big happy family. But maybe it wasn't Plain Crazy that you got nominated for, but give me your best flight attendant tale.
Oh, there's a lot.
The funniest or oddest thing to ever. I mean, how many years were you really a flight attendant?
I was really a flight attendant for longer than you are born. Which,
that's
okay,
not possible.
Thanks for asking.
Sissy, I'm 72 years old.
Good God. I was around since there were propeller airplanes. All right? I hold up well. Almost 40 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Almost 40 years?
Almost 40.
Wow.
Just under 40 years I was a flight attendant, but I look really good.
She does. She looks a little pixie, like she could play Peter Pan. That's what
there
she looks
go,
like.
There you go, Mary
right?
Martin. You know that Mary Martin played Peter Mary Pan Martin. At 50? Oh, sorry.
That was Sissy, not me.
That, I banged the table, sorry. It was Mary Martin, actually, that flew in here.
Mary Martin was actually dropped. Well, it was an unusual production of Peter Pan, starring Kate Smith. Yes, it was. I'm sorry, that's a ripoff. That's a Woody.
That's really
it's a Woody Allen line. Best story on the
airplanes. There's so many.
Yeah.
You know, things just happen all the time. Like, you know, people come up and they say, you know, how do I get bumped into first class? And I say, well, maybe if we hit a mountain going 500 miles an hour. I don't know, you know. Yeah, you just say what you say, you know.
Wasn't there some story? I mean, if you don't want to tell this, you don't have to tell it, because I'm sort of, you know, ambushing
which
you
one?
Here. You told me some story about the door on a particular model of plane, that the door would open on landing because there was a guy in a wheelchair. And you just sort of, you just left him there?
Does any of this make sense to you?
Oh, my God, yeah.
When we first got a DC,
that was just horrible. I can't believe you're bringing that up. Okay, on the DC-10, when it first came out.
Loved that plane, though.
Yeah, it was a nice plane, but the doors were, what do you call that? Hydraulic. They go into the ceiling.
Right.
So anyway, if we got... now I have to think of all these technical terms, but when it's like all that bleach. So when we get a gust of air from another airplane, sometimes like we're taxiing on the ground, sometimes the door would come up like 18 inches. So you'd be taxiing down the runway or down one of those, you know, off the runway, and a blast of air would hit us and the door would come up. Well, this poor guy is sitting in 1B in first class right by the door. Me and this girl are sitting there talking to him, chatting with him.
No, this is just a guy sitting
just
there.
Just a passenger, yeah.
Okay.
But he had, you know, he was wheelchair bound, so he couldn't walk. Well, anyway, the door comes flying up 18 inches high, and me and this girl scream bloody murder. We're really well-trained. And we scream bloody murder, leave the guy, run. And then, of course, you know, in a few minutes after the air goes by, the door comes back down, and we go back and sit down. And he goes, thanks a lot. He left me, and I said, well, I was just hoping that the fear might propel you to get up and walk.
Spontaneously walk.
Thank God he had a sense of humor.
You know, Michael, you said you liked the DC-10.
I did.
I got to tell you, the only thing I really require of my aircraft is that the door stay shut.
It's helpful. It's helpful, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the first thing that came to your mind?
No, I didn't think of that.
No, I thought of that because... No,
yeah, I would never even tell that story.
No, because...
No, I mean what the gentleman said.
Oh, yeah, what he said?
And what you said back.
Oh, yeah, well, what are you going to say to some poor guy that can't walk and you left him by the open hole?
But is that... I mean, I'm just curious, at which point during flight attendant training did they say, okay, if at any point the door of the plane accidentally pops open, be sure to abandon all wheelchair-bound customers. by screaming and running to the back of the plane.
That doesn't make a good impression.
Does not. And no. Now, Sissy, let me ask you something. In Plane Crazy,
yes.
Your show Plane Crazy, didn't you do a section of the show where you were actually on the plane?
Yeah, the stage was an airplane.
With all of the...
So I played all the characters.
All
I
the
played the passengers, and I played the flight attendants.
Can you recreate just a little
bit? Well, I mean, I did Katherine Hepburn and Marlena Dietrich and Cher. Cher was actually, she put the headsets on, and she had just gone to see a psychic. So she so she could talk to Sonny on the other side. Well, when she put on the headset, she could hear his voice, right? And he said that he wanted her to rewrite the words to "I Got You, Babe. Do you have a pencil?" She said, "What are you talking about? Yeah, what are you talking about? You know, it's got three words, you know. I don't need it. You know, I'll memorize it, you know." So anyway, this went on and on. Anyway, so then she sang the song, "Oh, they say when I..." This is from Sonny to everybody out there in the world. "They say when I went down the hill, before I left, I should have made a will. Boom, 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 tree, bum, 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 bum." I know. And people would scream in the audience. I go, "What? You never hit a tree? What?" Whatever. Anyway, that's just kind of crazy.
Tree.
Sick, isn't it?
In addition to apologizing to Chinese Americans, we'd also like to apologize to the Bono
Everybody
family.
Everybody else.
Yes. So now, what did Marlena Dietrich say?
Yeah.
On the
plane? Well, she got caught in the bathroom smoking, you know, because she like smokes all the time.
Yeah.
And so she went in the bathroom and smoked, and then the what do you call it? The fire extinguisher went off on her, and so she came out a mess. You know, just that's all. And then she sang a song about being a wicked woman. Okay. I can't even. I've been so many people now. I can't even must. I don't even know how to do Marlena now. Wait, let me see if I can find her. No, I can't. She's gone.
If you could only see what the face is doing right here. It's sort of like, you know, just watching. You had a recent.
Hey, what, you want to apologize to the Mary Buttafuoco family too? Okay, never mind. Sorry, I won't go there.
So you had a recent. Didn't you perform recently in Palm Springs?
No. Whatever.
Didn't you?
No, I was going to, and then the whole
what
club,
happened?
They found out I was coming, and they closed down the club.
They closed down the club? When
yeah.
did this happen?
Well, for the summer,
2 days
though.
Before.
It's for
yeah.
the summer.
Well, maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
I hope.
She's going to be headlining Sterling's Upstairs.
Oh, is she?
Yes, she
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I am going to do it.
Yes, she is.
Yes,
we're
I am.
Do that before the end of the year.
And then we'll have Bare Soul Girls in all their Bare Soul shoes come and sit in the audience and get
That's
a free
right.
cannoli.
That's right.
And she's not speaking in euphemisms, ladies and gentlemen. I came for Sissy, but I stayed for the cannolis.
And they were both good.
Absolutely.
And I'll bare my soul, and then you can see all those people. B-A-R-E. S-O-L-E.
Oh, that's
so
that.
Not to be confused with bear.
Yes, yes, because that's what's going to happen. Come to Sterling's Upstairs and be mauled by a grizzly. Yes, it's a great night out.
Oh, my God. And
I'll have
thanks go out to my daughter who's running the store now.
So now, the what is the what's the next thing for you? Any aside from the Sterling's thing, other performance, any other performance ideas, anything else you got on your dance card coming up?
You know,
like the Bare Soul thing will just sort of be like a cabaret type thing. It'll be your usual thing, which is sort of patter in between
yeah.
like songs and
cabaret. I yeah. sang in cabarets for a quarter of a century.
A quarter of a century.
I did.
Really?
Mostly in gay
services.
Yeah, but thank you so much for asking. Yes.
So so now, Michael, we yes. talked about Sterling's, but we haven't really talked at length about it, and we should let people know that if they're curious about seeing who's performing at Sterling's, that if they go to stateoftheartsla.com, we have a list of supporters.
Right.
Bare Soul, Sissy's company being one of them,
mm-hmm.
and there's also a link to Sterling's Upstairs there where you can click directly through to, it's a MySpace page, isn't it?
It is. It, you know, it's MySpace. I know that's kind of passe at the moment, but listen, I can't turn down some, you know, 16,000 people that keep going through this thing.
Oh, yeah, so exactly.
Like amazing.
And you had a performance last night, and you're booked solid, aren't
solid
you?
Solid through the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's really a great evening out. For those of you that haven't
It's really a nice room.
You've
it
been is, there a couple
a great
of.
Room.
Well, we went we together. We went together when we Monica did. Was out of town. You were my date. And we went to...
Does she know?
She's been many people's dates. She comes in the club all the time.
Oh,
on somebody's
too.
Arm.
I would love to go to Sterling's Upstairs. Can you imagine going to Sterling's Upstairs with Katharine Hepburn and just, you know, going in and just
that
going...
That would be delicious. The food's delicious. I'm delicious. It's all delicious.
Kate, what would you... we're going to get cocktails, Kate. Is there anything in particular you would like?
Oh, let's see. That might take a while. Got enough time.
Well, thank you so much, Sissy. We have a couple of guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. We have
the wonderful Marsha Wallace
will
from
be
the
joining
Bob
us.
Newhart Show. Who's Marsha is going to be playing the wicked stepmother in Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella at the Cabrillo Music Theater, located at the Fred Cavalli Theater in the Thousand Oaks Performing Arts Plaza, which opens in. On the 23rd, actually, of this month. So Marsha's coming up, and the producer of the Cabrillo Music Theater, Louis Welkenfeld, is also coming up. And we have some surprise guests for next week, which we can't tell you
Oh,
about.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you, Sissy. And as
thank
always,
you.
Michael, it's a pleasure to be on the radio
thank
with you.
Thank you, Paul.
StateOfTheArtsLA.com. Check it out and see what we got coming up. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.